Marley was dead to begin with. There's no doubt about that. He was as dead as a doornail. Marley and Scrooge were business partners once, but then Marley died, and now their firm belonged to Scrooge, who was a stingy and heartless old man. Once upon a time, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his office. It was very cold outside, and in Scrooge's office it was not much warmer either. Suddenly, a cheerful person entered the office. It was Scrooge's nephew.
"A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you!" Fred said.
"Bah!" said Scrooge. "Humbug!
Welcome to Dice and Die, everybody!"
Wonderful.
My name's Luke. I'm your host, your GM, your best friend. And you can catch me in a theatre near you soon as Scrooge McDuck. We are the Dice and Die Show. We are your weekly Dungeons and Dragons and sometimes other stuff podcast. But at the moment, it's Christmas, hopefully, maybe. I don't know. Perhaps it's January or June or July. Maybe it's a heat wave. Maybe COVID's still going on. Perhaps we're living on the moon or undersea. Who fucking knows? But we're here. We're queer. And with me tonight, I am joined by, actually, for the Christmas special, if you haven't worked it out by now in the past three episodes, our special guest GM, Sean St. Nicholas Lee.
You guys give up or you're thirsty for more?
I don't know what that was. That was Gollum there. Classic Gollum.
Classic Gollum. Gavin Bourne.
Evening, all.
Evening, Gunnar. And Lisa Horton.
Hello.
Hello, love. You all right?
Yes, thank you.
Good. I mean, it's Christmas, man, and we're in lockdown still, and we discussed this before. Everything's a bit depressing. Perhaps we're seeing our family, perhaps we're not. I don't really know.
I'm not sure what this tier three lark means for the Christmas break rules that have come out.
Well, nothing's been released yet, but I mean, in theory, Gavin was saying, anyone, he's heard on the grapevine that you're not going to be able to see three households, you're only going to be restricted to two. But
yeah, there's talk about it.
All I've seen is that tomorrow midnight is when we go into tier three.
Right, I thought it had already happened. Okay.
When 12:01 sort of thing, and then the rules of tier three would go against, you know,
but they're basically scrapping the tier system, aren't they, for those 4 days or something.
Yeah,
that's how it is, the idea across the entire UK. Anybody for the few international listeners we've got, which, by the way, I mean, did you guys notice we had a new guy join our Discord server yesterday? I can't remember the person's name, and they're like, "Oh, I'm in Canada and I'm listening to your show," and he's like, I'm eagerly awaiting to find out what's happened to Pock because of the podcast release. That Pock's just gotten shit with the orcs when he's been like ambushed with a car. And a couple of people have said that as well to me on Twitter. It's like, I can't wait to find out what's happened. And I'm like, well, wait and see. Yeah, so that's cool. So we've got some, for those international listeners, it's currently 15th of December. We have this weird tier system. So it's tier one, tier two, tier three. Tier three being the most severe. And depending where you are, there's more restrictions in place as to whether you can or can't see friends and family. So like in tier three, all pubs and restaurants are closed. But then like in tier one, they're open and you can go to them as long as you're having a meal and things like that. It's weird. It's all fucked up and stupid. But yeah. These guys are going into tier three in their area. Who knows what that's going to mean for Christmas?
Hopefully. According to The Sun, it says Christmas crisis, COVID UK news. Boris told to scrap Christmas coronavirus plans and keep London and the rest of the UK in tier two and three lockdowns.
I think it should be. I want to see my family. I want to go see my mum. She's on her own. Yeah. I want to see my sister and my nieces and nephews. But it's just...
Is it worth it? Is it really worth screwing everybody?
I know. Because we've had this peak again. The reason we've had this peak, of course, is because we come out of fucking lockdown. We had a lockdown in October, was it? October we were in lockdown? So, then middle of November, all of a sudden, boom, peak. And here we are now, a couple of weeks later, we're still dealing with that. Like, it's just, I know it's Christmas, but...
Like, it doesn't make any, like, if you're going to keep the schools open, then all of it's irrelevant.
All of it's irrelevant. 100%.
Yeah. Schools, there you go, job done, it'll probably fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, right. I've said this before on several episodes that we've discussed this, you know, like I have an email every other day from the school saying somebody else has been had a positive, you know, like, well, I had an email from the head teacher the other day of my oldest school and saying, look, I know you want to close this last week of school, I know you're telling us that you really want us to close but the and go to remote online learning, but the government have told us we can't and that they're going to fine us if we do, so you're going to have to come to school. Like,
that's bad.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, my understanding of it is if you can do remote, you could do remote.
Well, if you can at work, you know, I've been working at home now remotely since April. You know, why can't, if the kids are capable of working remotely from home, why can't they?
Well, it's, you know, where I work, we have put forward two or three different plans for doing part remote. So we bring the students in on a limited timetable in groups of six, where we give them, like, you know, studio time or rehearsal time, whatever they need, and in-person time. Everything else is done remotely. Like, we feel like we can handle that for a certain period of time. And it's just got knocked back or even just not acknowledged, you know. So we carry on as normal.
Yeah.
And like I say, we've not done a single remote lesson since lockdown lifted. We've done everything in person. Full classes, you know, as much social distancing as we could possibly put in place, which is basically none.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, that's what we're stuck with.
It works a few ways, is it? Like, at Emily's place, like, they did a thing where I think the class were in a large room and it was all boxed off doing their lesson, and the teacher was Zooming into the classroom teaching the class.
Yeah, I had to do that. When I self-isolated, I had to Zoom into my classroom where the kids were.
It works.
But you do need someone on that end to kind of run it and stuff. It's complicated because I've got kids that need to go to college. Mm. They can't be at home for whatever reason, and there's usually a multitude of reasons. You know, even sending them off for like half term and Christmas break, normal, no COVID is a worry.
Mm-hmm.
We had a kid this week who got the news that they had self-isolated. It was just not cool at all, like, but life or death situation. So it comes down to the fact that schools and colleges and places are, you know, they're social care as well. They're not just a place of education. Mm-hmm. Parents need to work and earn money. If the government isn't supporting it at every level, then they can't close the schools. They can't close the schools and say to parents, all right, you've got to look after your kids now and teach them from home and not pay them.
Yeah.
And money to support that. It's ridiculous.
It's a very, very complicated issue, and I get it. And it's easy for me to say, as a, you know, we have a safe environment for kids to sit at home in. But you're 100% right. It's very complicated. There are children that are abused at home, children that don't have food at home. You know,
it's kids that live independently. I think people, like, especially where I work, 16 to 18 year olds who have keys to their own place that, mm-hmm. you know, that for whatever reason they've ended up in that situation, just need support outside.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. I do get that, actually, to be fair. Yeah. It is a very, very complicated issue. And I
agree that this is not the safest way for them to, you know, it's definitely like...
The thing is that they're working on the assumption that most young people, you know, from like 30 down, really, maybe even older than that, are very, very unlikely to have a severe case and get really severely ill from the disease. And that's fair enough. I think the risk comes really from those young children who are they spreading it to? You know, they might catch it and they might, kids are resilient and they just crack on and would probably even barely notice that they're ill, but they're coming home and giving it to their parents. And maybe you have support bubbles and then you go and give it to your grandparents, or, you know, you think they're okay because they're kids. And so you go food shopping with them because you don't have any choice but to take them food shopping. And then who are they infecting at, you know, in the public? And that's the risk, you know. But at the same time, I also know that school and further education as well is a safe place for a lot of people. You know, it's very complicated, but
it's totally.
You know what?
We think the number of our staff that are down. My manager, bless him, has the dreaded long COVID. He's had COVID for like 6 months now.
Wow.
caught, you know, we assume got it from, this was like pre-test and trace app and stuff, that he actually caught it the first time around. But, you know, he's going to have permanent damage from his case.
That's mad.
Like, you know, he's a frontline worker, and that's what's going to happen to people.
One of Emma's friends
is a right way to protect everyone.
Mm-hmm. No, one of Emma's friends' mates is like, they had COVID and they still haven't got their taste back.
Wow.
It's just like the weirdest thing ever. Like, and she just eats food and there's no flavor whatsoever. It's just like, yeah.
Here's in an attempt to somewhat so like, odd. What would you eat if you weren't able to taste anything?
What would I don't know. Like,
pussy!
Mate, you say
that's talking, by the way.
I yeah, right. If you couldn't, mate, I'm not being funny, right? But like, I'd hate to be able to not taste that. Actually, as oh yeah.
Just yeah. Make a 9-volt battery, mate.
All fine. Day long, if I could.
Wow, really learning things about people.
I was purely going to suggest, like, I don't know, melon or something.
I like melon as well.
Cucumber, I fucking hate it.
I hate cucumber. Yeah. I don't think I would eat anything that I don't like. Like, I mean, like, I can't stand tuna, but I wouldn't start eating tuna if I couldn't taste it. I'd just be like,
like pussy?
Mum, mate, if your missus's pussy tastes like tuna, then you need to tell her to go and have a wash.
Like, I'm just being disgusting here, don't worry.
Love it.
I'll leave you with one little funny story. Just going back to the whole COVID thing, because that's always a barrel of laughs. I was in I was in my little Santa hut.
I don't know if I know if this is how it's linked from eating pussy to you in your Santa hut. I'm not quite sure I want to know.
And like, this family come in. And
oh, God.
A boy who was about 10, right?
Oh, Jesus. Sean, this is a family show.
Give them all the presents, and then on the way out, I was like, oh, well, hopefully next Christmas will be a little bit better for everyone. And the 10-year-old on his way out, waving, turned around and went, oh, tell me about it. I've had to isolate twice. Get out of my room right now.
Piece of shit. Santa says you're a piece of shit. Get out of my grotto.
Out of the mouth.
Yeah, well, we've been lucky. I mean, we right at the very beginning, back in March, we isolated. I think it was Tasha had symptoms back then, and then
I know a few people that before the COVID thing was announced said that they've probably had it and been you know, had all the symptoms and gone, shit, yeah, I probably had it and didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, and I think we've had this conversation before on here at some point. But Tasha for like 9-10 months was training to be a healthcare assistant in the hospital, you know, for one reason or another she stops. But over Christmas period, so last year, November, December, January, she was working in the respiratory ward at the Ipswich Hospital, and she said it was apparently all of the staff and nurses on her ward were saying it's the busiest it's ever been. And then it was only afterwards, come March, you know, April time, they were like, shit, that was actually probably COVID, and no one ever realised it. But at the time, like, going back to this time last year, we were all really fucking ill. We had this persistent cough, we weren't going anywhere. So we wonder, because the fact that actually we're quite lucky, I think, that we've been so fine this year with the kids at school and whatnot, and that I wonder if actually we had it last year. But I mean, Tasha had the antibody test and it didn't show anything, but apparently that was a load of bollocks. Like, that apparently, like, the antibody test tells you either had it and you got antibodies, and that's it. Like, so you might have had it and not got antibodies, or you might not have ever had it. Like, there's actually, like, it was a pretty shit fucking test that they were rocking out in the summer.
And I don't think they know, even if you have antibodies, how long they last, or if they are 100% effective. I think all it can really tell you is if you had it, and you could do the antibody test, not have antibodies, and still have had COVID.
It's exactly.
Pointless.
people have that, you know, there are people who have had it and been diagnosed with it more than once. So yeah, I mean, mental.
New strain that's
hopefully. Oh, this new strain. Yeah, I see that. But I mean,
just the cold, isn't it, that's developing into slightly different versions of cold.
I've read up on it a little bit today, and it's just, scientists saying that that's exactly what this will do. It will mutate, and it's quite normal.
I think in the future, it'll become somewhat like a flu virus. We'll get over it, generally speaking, and we'll carry on with our lives. And it'll just be a case of every year, they'll be like, here's a vaccine for the new strains that we are around, you know, because whilst it is a bit more dangerous than the flu, it's a similar style of virus, you know. So I think it's just because it was new and it's shocking and we didn't know how to combat it, which is why it's been so deadly, you know. I'm so thankful that it hasn't really, really impacted me so far. I mean, the closest it's come to impacting me as a family was you, Lise, and I'm so glad that you and your family were safe from it. So,
Locked out massively.
The fact that you all sort of had it and, like, no, it didn't. Yeah, you had a couple of days where you were a bit hot. It's mental, isn't it? Like,
I never had it. I've always tested negative. Yeah. Every test I've ever had tested negative. Remy was, she was a bit warm for three or four days. I mean, to be honest, it was a temperature that we would have normally taken her into hospital to sort out.
Yeah.
But because we knew, one, what they would do in hospital, and two, that was the last place you wanted to take someone in June, like ever. We just managed it from home with the help of the, you know, the nursing team that we have. And it was, and she was fine. And considering, you know, for so many reasons that she probably shouldn't have been, thank fuck for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that sunshiny note, let's fucking play some D&D, eh? So,
way to the end of this thing, which I'm not even sure.
Oh, Luke Cruz just joined us finally. Last thing I wanted to say before we do go back into this, because we do have to get this cracking, is I just wanted to say thank you to Sai Kansen, who has literally just been chatting to himself in the Twitch chat all evening. You're a fucking star, mate. But we've been talking about COVID, and one of the last things he said was, if it wasn't for COVID though, we wouldn't have this awesome stream/podcast. And you know what? That's brilliant. And the fact that, and it's very true, in fairness, we would never have got together if it wasn't for this.
No.
But at the same time, you know what, mate? Like, you and a few select other people are here week in, week out. You know, we really appreciate it. And yes, of course, of all the however many, the hundreds of people that download the podcast every week, you know, we really do appreciate it. So thank you. Let's play some Mother Funts in Dungeons and Dragons. Over to you, Sean.
Oh, yeah, lovely. I won't bother with a recap because I'll probably cut all this out. So if you've been watching, you know what's been going on. If you've not been watching, watch Home Alone, and it's pretty much exactly the same fucking thing. We find ourselves with a giant spider and three shivering, nervous adventurers all looking for their friend Puck. You are up first against this bloody spider. I like this.
It's a blood spider.
This bloody spider turns up. What happens next?
Bloody spider turns up, it does.
I guess I better... there's no point in talking to it. I suppose I better attack it.
Absolutely. We all know it's Buzz's spider. Just fucking kill it. Is it Buzz? Is that his name? Go kill him.
Buzz. Yeah.
I did not clock that. So nice one. Good catch.
It's got to be worth some inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you know what? Well done. Who was that? Who guessed it?
Luke.
Well done, Luke. You can have some inspiration.
Thank you, Jim.
No worries.
So
no worries.
I just attacked. I rolled a 4 plus 6, 10.
It doesn't quite make it. You lash towards this spider, but its big hairy legs distract you, and you miss it. Yeah. What else? Have you got any more? So I'm like off my tits on medicine at the minute.
You're that night nurse.
Can I can't use my sneak attack because I haven't hit. So
no,
I'm not going.
And I can't use my other attack because I'm going to run away.
Run away! Have you using your bonus action to?
It's my disengaged. Yeah, my rakish audacity.
Oh, lovely! The spider is very annoyed and it can't get you. Right, I've not, I'll be honest with you, I've not read its stats properly, so this might be a bit more powerful than I thought it was. Here we go.
Giant spider, so, fine.
Giant spider should be all right.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
Easy. It's going to take a little step forward. There it is. And it's going to go for, who's that? Millicent.
I mean, I don't, continue.
Well, it's all right, because it rolls 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 to hit.
What number was that?
That was a 13. 13. That was all the numbers.
Miss.
And I think that is all it. Yeah, fuck it. Lovely. It misses. Phew, Millicent says out loud to the party.
Phew.
I think that's the end of its turn. Millicent, you're up.
I'm actually kind of squishy right now, so I'm going to neck a potion.
Looks like that is full hit points from our new
home. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Oh, nice one.
You take 4d4 plus...
No, 2d4 plus 2, so 10. You're saying that it just automatically does 10 points of healing.
10 points of healing. Bosh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. That's an action. So action. I will do nothing else. I kind of had to do that, yeah. So I'll hold.
The door is behind you, is slightly ajar as the camera swoops down and sees Droop standing in a puddle of burglar blood.
Cool.
You are up, Droop.
I need to ask. Am I still? So I just killed Marv. I went into a rage and killed Marv because they were robbing my friend Pock's house, and I assumed they were in on it. Am I still raging? Please.
As he fell to the floor, the spider popped into existence.
Good. So because I only have a limited amount of rages per day. So do we want to waste another one? Cool.
Remember, I gave you cheese to come.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, cheese, spider! So I'll go charge while still raging then and attack the spider. And I roll a natural one. But I've got inspiration. I'm going to use that inspiration.
Yeah. Lovely, go for it, re-roll.
I roll a 2. So that'll be a 7, but at least it's not a...
Those bloody hairy legs are causing problems for everyone. They are very uncouth and somewhat distracting. Next up, Burr, you get a 2nd Hairy Mary.
Right. Okay, no, so behind it, flank it, behind it.
Yeah, but if I flank it, I can't disengage because I won't have any movement left. I only get 25.
Where were you? There?
I was there, yeah.
I was only 20 foot.
Yeah, I still can't. Well, is that flanked there then?
Yeah, because you're opposite. As long as you're directly opposite someone.
Oh, fair enough. I'll do that then. Attacking with advantage. A 2. Let's see if I can roll a 1. A 1!
No, that's got to be statistically impossible. What I've rolled, I rolled literally a 1 and a 2.
A 1 and a 2, and I rolled a 2 and a 1.
Put those dice in the bin.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. And so I'll disengage.
So
I'll run away.
You've just jumped over the banister and landed on the stairs.
I can't go that way, can I?
All right, I see what you mean. Technically, you're still within 5 feet there, but I mean, I won't worry about it.
Well,
don't worry about it.
Nah.
Have you not used the bonus act?
What else you got for us? Anything?
No, I can't do anything else. No, because I haven't hit. So
I mean, you could in theory. I mean, if instead of disengaging, you could in theory make a second attack.
Oh, because I've got my short sword, haven't I?
Yeah, you're still in its range, so you haven't disengaged.
Oh, good point. All right, I'll use my short sword, which is just 1d6, isn't it?
You should have to roll to hit, yeah, but.
Yeah. Steps about here. Okay, I'll roll with advantage to hit a 10 plus 6, that's 16, or a 3. So, yeah, 16.
That hits.
Right, and I roll my d6, which is just 1 d6.
Yeah,
a 5.
But then you can still do your sneak attack damage as well. So that's another 2 d6.
Oh, okay. So a 5, a 3, and a 2. So 10.
10 points of damage.
10 points of damage.
Half of what you've already done, or all together.
That's all I've done.
Wicked. Anything else?
No.
Crack-a-lackin'. So, Burr, that ends your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Scary, scary Spider-Man turns around to Burr. He is very like a kid's book, finally. He's going to make an attack on you, this time with something a little bit different.
18
if he turns away, does that mean he's Millicent get an attack of opportunity for turning away from her?
And if he leaves my range.
Only if he leaves your range, okay.
I'll try to leave my range.
So that
What did you roll, Rachel?
23 to hit.
Yeah, that hits. That hits.
So, Gav, a big web just comes rushing at you from inside the spider's little dangly mouthy thing.
The
target is restrained.
The spider is anatomically incorrect.
I
think web comes out their butt, guys.
Yeah, web, it does come out their butt.
He didn't turn around. He just sort of...
He just shat on him.
I'm just going to read this out loud. Loud quickly, guys, and you can decipher it for me because I'm crap at this sort of stuff. The target, one creature, is restrained. Sometimes I get confused. The target is restrained by webbing. As an action, the restrained target can make a DC 12 strength check. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Bursting the web on the success. So that's on your next turn. You can roll. That's not immediately you get to roll a check for it. Is that right?
No, yes.
Wait, you said two things.
Sorry.
Is that a no or a yes?
Gav is restrained until he has another action.
Right, okay, yeah. So it will say that you're restrained and then at the start of your turn or the end of your turn, you can make the action or something like that, it normally says.
Lovely. Okie doke. Sorry about that. Just wanted to... We're all learning. Lovely stuff. So it's going to do that and stay put. Millicent, you are up.
I'm trying to hit this thing. I believe... That because you have restrained Gav, that no longer gives me advantage because he's
not a threat.
Straight roll. Here we go.
What are you doing?
Can't do maths for some reason. We're rent 21.
That does hit. I've just read Sun sent his comment.
Yeah, I was smiling there.
Yeah, it's a Christmas special. Pock is in charge like a panto.
Accurate.
That hit, sorry, Millicent.
It does. That is 5 points of damage.
5 points of damage. Booyah.
It's going to be nearly dead.
It is. It's things are getting quite hairy for the spider.
I'll endeavour to take my dagger out for the next turn, so I've got two weapon attacks. Continue, Luke.
Okay.
Does her scream pressure droop you up?
I am going to... do a barbarian thing called a reckless attack, which means that I get to roll with advantage. That's all I'm going to tell you for now. I get to roll with advantage. So I am going to use my last dice, fucks me over. I'm going to use the one that I got sent from Flash Fantasy that they made themselves, the unique dice, with my blood spattered dice and roll a reckless attack.
Yeah.
You'll never guess what I just rolled.
2 and a 1.
2 and a 1, no. I rolled a 17 on both dice. Both dice came up 17. So that's 20-something to hit.
Lovely, that hits.
Brilliant. So that will be... Oh, nice, I rolled a 5 plus 3 plus 2. So another 10 points of damage. As Droop's just like screaming. And he just swings mass open... blows, leaving himself open, shall we say.
The spider did not like that at all. Is that the end of your turn?
I got fuck all that I can do. However, it's just also just occurred to me that Millicent, you should be rolling with advantage because you're next to me. I've got like the totem of the wolf.
Well, you 20 now, double that damage. I didn't. There you go.
It's a lovely way. So, moving on, Burr.
I need to roll something to get out, do I?
You do. Roll me a strength check if you'd like to try and break free from the webbing.
16.
You managed to rip this webbing away from you. That is your action. So if you'd like to follow up with anything else that you've got. Yeah, sneaky rogue you.
That means I can use my second attack, so I will attack.
A word for it. That's a brilliant thing about me, DM, and you can get away with fucking murder. Yeah.
That's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20, that hits.
I get 3 of these because I use my sneak attack. So, like before, a 5, a 2, and a 6.
As you bring, what are you using? Your rapier?
No, it's my short sword.
Your short sword. So, is all that damage? Yeah,
5, 6, and a 2, so it's 13.
fucking scream at it as you bring down your short sword. Just as it touches the hair on its leg, the spider falls to the floor dead because it had one hit point left. Trim some hair off its leg and just collapses on the floor. It is finito, as they say, in another language.
Can I take a piece of this spider to eat later, please?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Should you have explored the kitchen, what you would have discovered that on your plate was just a nice little, what's the word? A smorgasbord of.
An amuse bouche.
An amuse bouche of all the animals. Lovely. Right. Okay. So the door that you heard close when the spider appeared is the one that is to your very little southeast, west.
What, so this one or this one?
That one that you clicked first of all.
This one. Right, come on in, guys, because we've only got like half an hour to finish this adventure. Let's go.
Knock, knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Just
let him pop as well.
Kick it down, Burr. We all know how good you are at kicking their doors. Do it.
I'm taking a run up.
Charge.
Oh, yeah.
You want me to roll a strength check?
Yes, please.
Okay. A two, for fuck's sake. I'm going to need a hip replacement after this.
See Burr run up to a door and boom! And he falls back. He's prone at the minute.
Can I go up to the door and pull it?
Hold on, man. Door opens towards you. But suddenly you hear roll me a dexterity check, please.
Can I see what's coming towards me?
Can.
Then
who's got to roll the check?
Everyone, I think.
Just Millicent and Burr, actually.
Oh, okay.
You're all right, actually, Drew.
12.
Saving throw or check, sorry?
Saving throw, sorry.
22.
Millicent sees it coming. There is a absolutely massive, flight case of some very heavy metal things just bouncing its way down the stairs. It was tied to the door handle on the inside. Millicent manages to jump out of the way, just sort of pushes Droop back on her, and you both fall prone. But you've just managed to get back up and see, suddenly see coming towards you this fucking thing, and it just absolutely smacks you in the face. It knocks you over. You are prone, but you don't take any damage from that.
Just lucky.
It is. I realise I'm now looking at the wrong trap, but...
it's the right bit for the movie.
Right bit from the movie. I haven't got any damage written down for some reason, so we'll leave it as that. You're all flat on your ass. And this thing just glides down the corridor and smashes against the wall at the further end of the corridor.
Oh, why are you a little... Oh, yeah, little...
Run out of quotes.
I don't know really Marv's quotes. Yeah. I know there's a joke about how, he doesn't... Like, for a gangster, he doesn't swear or score anything at all. He's just a maniacal cartoon bad guy.
That's quite interesting because that movies that made us says about how Joe Pesci couldn't stop swearing on set.
And
he had to come up with that whole Muttley way of speaking just to stop himself swearing. And everyone was shit scared of him as well.
Yeah, he terrifies me, to be honest.
Joe Pesci?
But he's so little.
I know. I've seen him kill someone with a biro. So, I mean...
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
What film was that?
That was Casino, wasn't it? Casino. Goodfellas is the one where he just stabs him with a big old knife in the boot of the car.
Goodfellas is the one where he's like, he's like, am I funny? Am I a joker? Is this funny to you?
That's fucking chill funny. How am I funny?
Funny guy.
It is a pen in Casino. You're right. It's in the bookies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just fucking destroys him with a pen, pops him in the eye.
Yeah, that's a crazy film.
Never seen it.
From Very the top good. upstairs, you hear, my best but Gollum again. Here he is. Watch out. It's to Gollum from the top of the stairs shouts, "Oh no, I'm really scared." Really sarcastically, the bastard.
Oh, I'm gonna kill this kobold. I'm like, this is not a PG-13 movie. I'm going to string him up by his entrails. Let's go! Hey, yeah!
Are you in suit? I presume you are.
I was actually, have we got eyes on him, or is he just hearing his voice?
You can just hear it coming up from the attic. You can just hear his voice and some footsteps.
All right, I will follow behind Droop, but I'll give it like 10 foot.
For the sake of this, I'm going to pop you all up.
Another map.
There you go. Ignore the wall down the middle. We're going to skip that because that might take some more time than I originally planned. Can you all see that all right?
Yes.
You'll be able to move and whatnot. So up here, it's just an attic. There's lots of old belongings that have been in storage. At the far end, you can see a bed. There is no kobold in sight.
Clearly, he's hiding under the bed.
Let's get out there. Let's go.
Come here, kid. Kobold. Not going to hurt you.
Kobold.
Come on, little kobold.
Right, look under the bed.
Look under the bed. Roll me an investigation.
This is my Home Alone Marv quote to Droop. He's only a kid, Droop. We can take him.
Investigation's an 11.
Lovely. It's completely empty under the bed. You see nothing at all. Roll me a perception check if you are very good at noticing things.
Well, I mean, I am proficient in perception.
Are you proficient? Go on.
That'll be a 16.
16. You notice that just above the bed, there is a window that is open.
Above the bed is a window that is open.
You need to stand on the bed.
Get out of the roof.
There's the zip wire.
There's a zip wire leading out to a tree.
What do I see at the tree?
As you look out the window, you sit on like several different maps at the minute. As you look out the window, right at the other end of it, there's a very large oak tree in the garden, and the zip wire leads deep into the shrubbery. And you hear a voice scream from the distance. You better catch me. I'm going to call the police now.
You just went on a jam.
Just like, I will call the police.
Oh, but Nazi. No. Kevin McAllister, the Nazi kobold. Right. I would like to.
Rage.
Right. Unlike the movie when they're all like slowly crawling across, I would like to try and zip line across by using like, I think what weapons have I got? I've not got.
Use your belt.
Did I, I don't remember. Like I did say something, I'm sure I said something like in the very, very first episode when all the tools fell, I'm sure I said something about taking a crowbar.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yes, you did. You had a crowbar and a plus one stapler and a crowbar.
I use a crowbar to.
As you hoist yourself holding on the crowbar, dangling your little legs from it, I would like you to roll me. Ooh, what do we think? Acrobatics?
Yeah.
Move. Roll me an acrobatics while I.
15.
As you are zooming down this thing, you can just see at the other end, you're beautifully, like, you're looking in awe as Droop is just masterfully zooming down this zip wire. Just for a check of how quickly you can do this, that's sort of how much you've propelled yourself, roll me a dexterity check. Roll me a dexterity check.
I rolled an 18.
An 18, lovely, you zip to it. At the other end, you just peek as you see a kobold standing there with some very large clippers. Just about to cut this tripwire, but you beat him to it. You pushed off with such an immense speed, you smash through the window that's there, and you kick him across and you knock him prone. You are currently standing in a treehouse. The rest of you having seen this, I'll allow you a few seconds to decide if you want to do anything before we fuck around with some maps.
I'm going straight after him.
Yeah, follow.
I'll take my belt holster and...
Yeah, I'll zip line it.
Have a couple of acrobatics checks then. You can roll it with advantage because you've seen him pull this out, so you're a bit cocky about it as well.
I rolled an 18, 19.
Yeah,
22.
Gosh, look at you! Like the it's like the three musketeers of the D&D world.
Okay, so I am thinking of I think it's Tango and Cash, Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone.
Yes,
and they break out of the prison. And when they break out of the prison, don't they take like a running jump off of the roof and then like whip their belts round the wire? And then zip line down the wire. That's what I'm thinking of.
Never seen it, but I've seen that bit.
I remember my mate John Williams asking my dad to buy him Tango and Cash in Woolworths in Chapel Heath. And because the woman wouldn't sell it to him, and my dad was like, yeah, no worries. And he took it out to buy it. And the woman was like, you're buying that for that boy, aren't you? And she was like, my dad was like, yeah. So, and she was like, you're disgusting. You'd probably buy him alcohol or cigarettes, wouldn't you, as well? And he was like, no, it's like a film. It's like a shit Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell movie, honestly.
Wow.
Fuck off. Yeah. She probably got ratty with him as well.
That film's absolutely fucking brilliant, though.
I haven't seen it in years.
I mean, like, as like 80s, possibly early 90s, but I think it's 80s action films go. That's brilliant.
I just remember whenever it was on ITV, they'd dub the shit out of it. And one of the classic one was when he goes, Rambo is a pussy. He was like, he changed it to Rambo is a primitive.
There's a whole bit.
That doesn't work.
There's a whole bit in like the setup at the beginning when one of them, I can't remember which one, catches like a thief or a criminal and they're on a roof and he's pretending to like, he's like doing the bad cop, like I'm going to blow you up or something. And I'm sure there's a bit of a grenade and that was always dubbed as well, but I can't remember what it was.
I watched Kindergarten Cop the other day that was on like in the afternoon at some point and they'd cut so much out of it. I was like, Jesus, this is a kid's film anyway, but it was fucking awful. I mean, it was bad anyway, but...
Nah, it's a classic.
That's it. They're
who's bullshit. Your daddy and what does he do?
Right, you are standing droop above a prone kobold. I would like everybody to roll me, probably for the last time, some initiative, please. So by the time you two get there, Burr and Millicent, you see droop standing above the body of a kobold that's been knocked prone. So, Burr, you are up first immediately.
So the kobold's been knocked cold.
So as Droop come through, would Droop get any sort of... I see you coming, so you don't get a surprise round, but no. I suppose it's fair that we'll go with it. As Droop came through the window, he sort of kicked over the kobold. So knocking.
Okay, so he's prone.
So there's a prone kobold on the floor.
Okay, well, I'll go and attack non-lethal 3-4. I'm going to go up here. So then he's flanked. And attacking non-lethal. That's a 2 or a 4. For fuck's sake.
I was about to say that if he's prone on the floor, you get advantage anyway. But like a 2 and a 4 is fucking shit.
A 2 and a 4 is awful. Throw these dice in a river.
After the day you've had, Burr, you've attempted in 3 doors. None of it's worked. You've damaged.
I've danced when I didn't want to.
You've had a little dance. You didn't do too bad against a suit of armor, but you are officially fucked off. Nothing's going your way. You were meant to be going to a party, and this shit's.
This is it. Where are the other guests?
Oh, well.
I guess you have a couple. You have a little swing at him, and you hit the flooring of the treehouse. Anything else you want to
do? That's it. I'm done.
Can do. Lovely. Droop.
I'm not going to bother disengaging.
Okay. So cool. Okay. So rage. Advantage on strength checks and saves, and then melee damage bonus +2 and resistance. Blah 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 blah. So. I would like to. I'm going to rage, but then I'm going to jump on him while he's prone on the floor and attempt to grapple him, which is a strength check. So I get advantage.
Right. Awesome.
I've got minus two to strength. But here we go. There's a bit of fun. I rolled a 16, so 14. Yes, and it's an opposed check. That's how that works. So you would then strength or dexterity, so acrobatics or athletics opposed, beating whatever I just said, 14.
I'll go for a general strength. What did you get?
I hit a 14.
He rolled an astounding final number. Two.
Yeah. So Droop is like raging. He's like, ah, and just jumps on him and pins him down to the ground and is like, and then just kind of like shaking him. He's like, tell me where Pock is or I'll fucking fong you. Your entrails will become extrails.
Your insides are outside. Right. Does that end your turn then?
That's my action. Yeah.
He replies with,
oh, this is my precious, so please stop me. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I just want the gold. I just want the gold, the precious things, yes, in the treehouse. I'm sorry, I didn't mean any harm. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. He's there. He's right there. No, please let me go. Let me go.
And he's going to use his action to just plead for his life. But he's going to make an attempt to break your grapple.
Yeah, so basically, like, when it's someone's restrained, they get a condition.
Ah, hang about. I have cunning action. Can I use my action to disengage with your grapple? Does that work?
So, no. Is it going to be in your... Did you put a compendium in here? You didn't.
No.
Okay, so I'll have to look it up in the book.
What do you want to know? Canning action or?
No, the restrained condition.
I've got it right here.
So I didn't bring up me. I've got like a digital DM screen on here, but I've not opened it.
Restrained creature speed becomes zero. It can't benefit from any bonus to its speed. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage. The creature has disadvantage on any dexterity saving throws. You want to know how to break a restraint?
I think basically it's another opposed roll to break it. It's grapple is the rule. So I think it's just another... would be another roll on, I think.
We'll do a strength versus strength.
Combat.
when it gets complicated, I hand the DM in back over.
That's fine.
There you go. You can look it up. I don't understand.
Grappling. When you want to grab a creature or wrestle with it, you can use the action attack to make a special melee attack. A grapple, if you're able to make multiple attacks, you can do this. Replaces one of them. That's fine. So... we did the first bit. It's an opposed roll. Escaping a grapple. A grappled creature can use its action to escape. To do so, it must succeed on a strength, athletics, or dexterity acrobatics check contested by my strength athletics check. So it's basically another roll off.
Okay.
And that would be its action, so it wouldn't be able to make an attack or anything like that.
I've already rolled mine, so I won't touch it.
Okay, so I'm still raging, so I get advantage on that strength. And this time I rolled a 19 minus 2, so 17.
Oh, I rolled a 17 minus 2, so 15.
There we go. So it stays grappled.
And that thus ends its turn, begging for its life as its sneaky ways have been discovered.
Sorry, I guess the grappled condition. So a grappled creature's speed becomes zero, can't benefit from it by speed. And that's it. Its speed just becomes zero. So technically it can still do anything it wants.
It can still attack, can't it?
So it can still technically attack, yeah. It just can't move away. But you've used the action to try and break, so...
Yeah, now legendary actions, how do they work? Do they go on top of actions?
Okay, so legendary actions can typically be... I think normally they are used as reactions after the end of another creature's turn.
No, it's terrified. It's begging for its life, and that ends its turn. Millicent, decision is yours.
He said a Pock's over there, didn't he, or something?
Said something like that.
Can I see Pock?
Can't.
Is Pock inside the suit of armour?
I'll let the lads sort this out. I'm going to use my action to investigate. where Pock might be if he's about.
Lovely. So where are you looking?
I'll head over for the suit of armor. Why not?
Okay. Roll me an investigation.
Yes, sir. Oh, lovely. 25.
So you reach over and you start trying the helmet at first, you know, like take it off and see if you can see. And yeah, open it up, and there's just an empty gap where the head should be. And what's your general intelligence?
Well, my intelligence is, oh, good, 16 plus 3.
16 plus 3, lovely. This suit of armor is probably about 6 foot.
So really, Pox. Okay, so I'll take the waist. take the waist off.
As you take the waist off, there inside, tied up the suit of armor, there's your good old friend Pock with some, you're not sure what it is, but it looks like some silvery black tape across his mouth.
I will start to endeavor to release him, and that'll probably be the end of my turn. I don't think I'll do much more on that.
Yeah, that's it done. So you pull Pock out, and he kind of lumps forward, and he's sort of semi-conscious. He's like, oh, Guile, thank you very much for coming. What's going on? Where am I? Why is it all dark? Why are you all here? Who's that? Where am I? Am I in a tree? Why am I in the tree? I've not been here. Is that all my stuff? What's going on? Are you here? Merry Christmas. he's very confused. He's very bewildered. Millicent, as that was your turn, we'll do a few more rounds. Hand that over to Burr. So we've still got the issue of a kobold.
Well, what do we do this kobold? We can't talk. Can we tie him up?
He's currently being restrained by a very, very angry goblin.
Can I?
You've all got rope. You can.
Yeah. What can I do to tie him up?
Yeah, just tie him up. I'll let you have that.
I mean, I suppose you could make like a survival roll to see how well you tie him up, and whether, you know, like. But
I mean, it's nearly 11. You've
tied him up.
I'll tell you what, Bert. I'll let you have something this game
because I've lost everything else.
See, Burr really now trying to make up for it, tying all these fucking wonderful knots.
Really showing. Once I've tied him up, can I use that feather in my hat to tickle his balls?
You absolutely can.
Perfect.
Lovely.
Ash, no! Stop it! Stop it! Tickle, tickle!
So there's Pock. Guys, we'll end the initiative there. Oh, guys, you made it. Oh, thank you. What's going on? What's happened? Is that a kobold? Fucking kobolds.
Yeah, we got him for you, Pock. Are you okay?
Oh, thank you very much. I was just wrapping your presents, and I couldn't wait for your arrival. And I noticed that the kobolds, one of them tried to break in the other day, and he told me that he would be back when I gave him a little thunder wave up the arsehole. That soon soon got rid of him, and he was like he'll be back soon. And he did an evil laugh, and so I got a bit scared and decided to set the house up with lots of traps, but. He must have. All I remember was wrapping your loot, Millicent, and then suddenly everything went dark.
Yeah, I've got a question about that. Why did the loot? Why was the loot so enchanted that it might have killed us all?
Enchanted? Oh no! I will see. I've been learning some new spells, and I cast a wonderful little spell called I can't remember now, but I did look it up. It just a lovely little spell that would make an animation come to life, and I thought you'd lovely if it picked it up and it played you a little song.
Was the spell called GIF?
I don't. I'm not sure. Maybe I bought it off the black market, you see. Maybe there was something wrong with it. I'm not... What happened? Are you okay?
Have you got the receipt?
Fortunately not, no.
That's probably just as well. I think we smashed it anyway. I appreciate the thought. We are fine.
What day is it today?
It just so happens to be Christmas Day.
Oh, fuck me. Well, Merry Christmas, guys.
Ah... Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Let's get pissed.
Everyone.
Merry Christmas. God, Paylor bless us, everyone, or whatever.
Does anyone fancy kobold for dinner?
Oh, well, look, everyone, follow me. I've got such a lovely festive treat inside. And he opens up a little hatch that leads to a ladder that goes down the air. Cool. And you all head inside and you have a wonderful Christmas dinner with Puck and your plus one stapler.
And do all dance around that's going... Party, holy, happy Christmas. Happy, happy, which is the best impression you're going to get of the song from the end of the Grinch. You're going to get. And of course, before we leave the treehouse, I basically wrap the rope that the kobold has been tied up with around his neck a couple of times and just chuck him out the window. And then we leave.
So as you're all sitting down around enjoying festive dinner, talking of adventures past and adventures maybe to come, you're all sitting there and Pot goes, oh, I've bought us all a wonderful little Christmas present. And he hands out these envelopes and he passes on. And as you all open them, it turns out to be four or five tickets to New York for next Christmas. And he goes, I thought we could all go away on holiday together. I can't wait till next Christmas.
Very, very good, Sean. Absolutely brilliant.
And do you know what? I even had another map that you didn't venture down to the basement. So
because I vaguely remembered seeing like some doors to the basement, like. But
I'll just pop it up for you because otherwise
it's a waste.
No one will ever see the light of day. There's the basement.
Oh, lovely! What traps were in the basement then?
Oh, some wonderful things. Now, if you were to turn the light on because you couldn't see, then an iron would have caved your fucking head in. These top stairs on the outside were very slippery. The stairs on the inside had loads of nails through. And then if you had got all the way down and landed yourself about 30 foot from the fireplace, it would have started spouting some fireballs at you.
That's fireballs?
Yeah.
Fuck this
crap. That would have been a TPK. Isn't a fireball 8d10 damage? Or something?
Yeah, something ridiculous like that. Yeah, it's like
liquidated the absolute shit out of it. It was you would have been fine. It was just it would have spouted some, you know, like the angry whatever it is down in the basement.
Yeah, yeah. He's scared of it, isn't he? Because it's
and there was a secret way to turn it off as well. But maybe we'll save that till next year.
Very, very good. Like for you know what, everybody, this is Sean's very, very first time ever GMing in these episodes.
You know, I have to back over to you guys pretty much.
No, mate, you've done such an amazing job. You know, like I've got a couple of years of experience, but you guys are only the second group I've ever GM'd. So I know Lisa's got experience, but I mean, before you joined this podcast. On episode 3, you had never played before, and that was 6 months ago, and you're GMing a semi-homebrew adventure. Like, you have done a fucking cracking job, and I look forward to when you can do it again. You know, because you actually have written an entire homebrew adventure, which we were planning on getting together and playing like back in September, and we never did.
Definitely one to do face-to-face, I think.
Yeah, and I can't wait. You've done a cracking job.
Yeah.
I'm quite... happy to be able to hand over the torch and give up the role of GM. That's been brilliant. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Cheers, Sean.
Thank you very much. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah, you know, God bless us, everyone, all that nonsense. We'll zoom into that so people can see that.
Can I just... I need to ask this question. Have you ever seen Home Alone 1 recently?
Yeah, like last week.
Right at the end, when Kevin says, well, I've got nothing in the house, you know, when they've all come back from Paris and they're all fine at home, he goes, oh, I've got nothing in the house. He's like, I went shopping. I got detergent and milk. And then the dad comes in and goes, what else have you been up to while we've been away? Oh, just hanging around. And the dad goes, what a funny little guy. That is the weirdest fucking lock of dialogue. In any part of that, like, Whose dad says, oh, funny little guy? Sorry. I was thinking about that scene all through the last 5 minutes of the game, thinking, is Sean going to give me an opportunity to say, just hanging around?
You know what? I've been meaning to watch it. And I've not. If I'd have had a chance, there'd have been so many more quotes.
I was like, "The fuck is that about?" It's so weird. But anyway,
I tell you what. One thing that it didn't quite pan out as I'd planned, just before we all go to bed, was in this room here, the room with the mirrors. I had a wonder little thing that I found in this really old D&D book, and I was like, "Oh, that'd be fun." And I'm kind of glad it didn't work out because
it would have been all night.
Yeah, pretty much. So Gav, I just want to say, you know the door that you couldn't get through? If you stood on the pressure plate immediately behind the door, that one there, the door would have opened.
Yeah.
So if you'd have stood there, it would have come out.
Right.
But there was a lovely little basilisk hiding behind one of these mirrors waiting to pounce. Each one of them had like a minor illusion spell on it.
So I was thinking, like, when he first went in there and the door locks, I was like, well, it's either going to be like a mimic, like in the chest, or like you're going to have to smash the mirrors, or something's going to come out of the mirrors. Like, there's definitely something to do with them. Yeah. But for time.
I thought when I opened the door on the other side that Burr wouldn't be there, and then when he opened the door, he'd be somewhere else.
Oh, that would have been amazing. You open the door and he's not there, and as you go in, Burr's inside one of the mirrors. Well, that would have been. Whoa.
Keep that one for later adventure.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
I don't charge.
I think you found pretty much everything else. I don't think there was much missing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was. Looks like there's another two rooms, but I mean, I'm sure it was.
You know what? I think there were toilets, I think.
Yeah. And the basement, obviously. But I mean, like, it's one of those things, like, there's a lot of traps. That's what the encounters were rather than fights, you know? Like, if we'd.
You're not going there, so let's bang it in.
Yeah. You know, we were just like, bang, let's just go through the front door. But if we'd, you know, like in the film, but if we'd been like, let's go around the back then, you know, like, we would have experienced other stuff. But no, it was
a bit high at one point. I wasn't too sure if you was going to go together or split up.
Part of me thought about it, like right at the very beginning, I was like, okay, so maybe I should just like, one of us goes around the back and went, but because that's what happens in the film. But then I'm thinking as a D&D player, like, don't fucking split the party, just go through the front door. Yeah. but it was really, really good. I really appreciate the break that you've given me. We will talk offline, but I'm kind of thinking like real world time, 15th of December. Mm-hmm. The next 2 weeks are kind of Christmas and New Year's holidays. I'm kind of assuming that we'll probably take a break recording and meet back up in January. I mean, to be fair, there's no reason why I couldn't play next week.
I can't do Tuesday, but any other day, pretty much, I'm fine.
I think I'm working until about 6.
I think we at least next week we'll take the week off for the few of you that do join us in the stream. We'll take next week off, maybe the week after Christmas or maybe the week after New Year's.
I think between Christmas and New Year, we all just kind of want to hang out.
Exactly.
We could play some Jackbox games rather than playing D&D and just hang.
Yeah. Maybe just do something, just like, again, no offense to our listeners, but maybe just do something for us rather than.
I think podcast wise as well, looking at what's happening in the next few weeks, I think it's probably going to be a break from where we've left off now. And then what I'll do is I'll find a few days to catch up and then release a catch up episode, maybe back in the new year before we start again, just to get us back on track.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the last episode was the episode that I fucked Pock up for all of the orcs. And obviously Pock survives. Oh, spoilers, because of course people don't know what's happened and then they're hopefully going to get these Christmas episodes not knowing what's happened. So obviously Pock survives because here he is a year in the future.
Or is it?
Or is it?
This could be his twin.
Troll.
Troll.
But yeah. So we've had, because of this and because Sean's been working really, you know, quite a lot on various different projects, the main show's had a bit of a break. So that's why, if you're wondering why, I probably should have put stuff out on Twitter and stuff, but you know, no one actually really pays attention to anything I post. So
I was only deciding that now, to be fair.
Well, I mean, you didn't release an episode last week and you haven't released one this week, so I kind of just figured that you just had a break. But that's fine.
I just forgot, to be honest, and didn't have time.
Like, here I am covering for you. Like, it's been busy, it's been working. And he's just like, I just couldn't be fucking bothered, to be honest. Just fuck you guys.
Under the beard, I can't really make any sense of anything. Yeah. Fuck it, we're on a break until New Year.
So if you want to know, if you think to yourself, you know what, we've been listening to this show now for a couple of months, you know, that they've really helped me get through lockdown and through COVID, and they've really brought a smile to my face. I really wish that I could give something back to them as it's Christmas, you know. Do us a favour, follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, @ShowD&D, or just search for the Dice and Die, basically, Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Instagram, but more than that, give us a review. Go to iTunes would be the best place, but otherwise Stitcher. There's a great website called Podchaser, which you can review us on, or just any old app, whatever you use, Podcast Addict, any old app. Give us a review, as that really would kind of give back to us a little bit. And it shows us that, you know, it's just nice to see. It really kind of makes it all worthwhile. And also, it does help attract new listeners to the show. And if you do so, I shall read it out for you. Just like this person, Rhino1404, who says, brilliant D&D general chat pod, 5 stars. I think I've read this one out before. I am sorry. He says, I love a D&D podcast, but it's really nice to find other British creators interested in the hobby. Really enjoyed the first episode and would recommend it to anybody else. I'm actually starting to run out of reviews, so we need some more. We need more reviews. Come on.
I'll add some more.
I think some of my students have stumbled across the podcast.
Oh no.
Stumbled, or have you pointed them in the direction?
A little bit of both, because one of my students started their own podcast, and I was chatting to them about our one.
How it's done.
I didn't tell them where to go, but they found it.
Oh, brilliant.
Because I think I probably share something on Instagram and they forget it on my Instagram. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, we've got a few more listeners probably.
That's brilliant. Yeah. You know what? Considering the fact we've not released an episode in 2 weeks, actually our numbers are still looking all right. I'm quite impressed on the downloads. So obviously new people are finding us and downloading some of the back catalogue. I won't go into detail now, but we had a great review this week. Actually, a really good review come through. But I'll save that for when I get to it, because I'm going in sort of chronological order on the show. But you know, people are reviewing and we really, really do appreciate it. And as I say, it really does help drive those numbers, because the more reviews we've got, the higher, like I say, you know, when some people are searching, we appear higher up in, you know, the more reviews, the more comments we've got on the apps, the more likely we are to appear in those searches for new listeners. And I say it all the time, you know, you guys listen to us for a reason, so share the love, tell your friends, tell your gaming groups, you know, about us.
I've also told about 300 kids this month as well. So,
yeah, Father Christmas is. I was Santa Claus, like,
now, Standard takes part in a little podcast. Now, don't listen to the start because he gets very angry about the Tories, the cunts. But what would you like for Christmas? Have a listen in.
This is it. Yeah. Probably best not to let your children listen to it. But anyway, on that note, guys, love you all. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hope you get what you want. Peace and love to all men.
And women.
And women. And everybody else in between, and whoever you
are. Non-binary.
You know, this is it.
Everyone.
Or, you know.
Whatever pronoun you choose to be.
Yeah. And be safe. You know. I think it's been a while since I said that. I used to say that all the time. Be safe, you know.
What was the little thing we come up when it, like, stay safe, roll high?
Yeah, that was it.
Dice never dies, stay safe, roll high. That's a Christmas jumper, that one.
That's the one. Peace out, guys. Look after yourselves. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
you see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons and Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.